The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
你在跟我开玩笑吗? Are you kidding me?
Corey Pogge is back at quarterback now. Pogge in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to another episode of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing?Episode number 33. This one brought to you by Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's actually one of my favorite months because I get to wear pink every day, and no one questions that. Also brought to you by our newest branded edition of the Believe Network, Los Angeles Football Network, hosted by Ryan Dyrud and Talon Graff. They do a fantastic job. Check them out. I want to welcome all our new listeners. I know we're still growing because I personally subscribed to multiple phones since last show. Check us out at somethingsbrewing.com. Follow us on Instagram at somethingsbrewing or shoot an email to Corey@somethingsbrewing.com. So, producer Dan,
yes,
are you on board with the game plan?
Yes. You know, you just reminded me that I haven't checked the email in a long time.
Well,
I maybe should do that as part of my duties.
Yes. So shoot us an email.
And I'll check it.
All right. Okay. Number 33, one honorable mention. And then we have a favorite 33 for the week. So first honorable mention is the great Larry Bird. Okay. Love the guy.
Wait a minute. So Larry Bird is not the actual 33?
No.
He's honorable mention.
Yep. And you'll know why. I bet most of our listeners could probably, if you know me, you know where I'm going with this. And that is none other than Mr. Scottie Pippen.
Oh, yeah.
Of Chicago Bulls
fame.
Oh,
yeah.
Six-time NBA champion, seven-time All-Star, was an All-Star game MVP, three-time first team, two-time second team, two-time third team, eight times all-defensive team, first team, great defender. NBA steals leader in 1995, one of the top 50 players of all time, retired by the Bulls, male athlete of the year in 1996, two-time consensus All-American for NAIA, though, by the way, just this little side note, went to Central Arkansas. Couple more quick stories about Scottie Pippen. So I've, one afternoon having happy hour, two nice, young girls sitting next to me, I was just chatting with them. One of them, Scottie Pippen's daughter, looked like she just got done shopping. And Scottie's sister-in-law actually worked with me for a little over a year, which was another connection to Scottie Pippen.
Nice.
And then my favorite connection to Scottie Pippen. So one of my favorite guys on the planet, Tori. He'll just go by Tori. So he was playing golf.
Is he incognito?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked about him before. But so Tori is shorter than you. Okay, Dan.
I'm sorry, Tori.
Yeah, and he was playing golf with Scottie Pippen in a charity event or something. And at the end of the round, he said he had a beautiful day with Scottie, and Scottie was just a fantastic person. And so they took a picture with my buddy Tori, who's literally like 5'3". And Scottie Pippen, who's 6'9", another tall guy like 6'6", and another dude like 6'3". And the picture, and Scottie posted it on Instagram, or one of the people posted it on Instagram. And then there was just people jumped all over it, making fun of how funny Tori looked.
Yeah.
And so here's a couple of the highlights.
That's why guys like my size don't hang around with basketball players.
Yeah, so it's like, so here's my three favorite making fun of Tory Lines. Oh, no. So it says, oh, it's the white Muggsy Bogues. Okay, that's the shortest basketball player in history. Why does that kid have a beard? And then my favorite one was, who let the kid out of the pack and play? But anyway, no, I love you, Tori.
Tori, I feel your pain.
Yeah, and a shout out to him actually for finishing a 100-mile race. I mean, how many people do you know that did that?
Oh my,
start to finish, 100 miles.
Okay? You know, and I don't even know if you're talking about a running race, a bicycle race, a motorcycle. No, it doesn't matter. 100 miles.
Yep, running.
He ran, no.
Yes, he's crazy. He's weird.
He
he's
ran
weird
100
like
miles?
Yeah.
Dude, I cannot run 100 feet.
I know you can't, Dan. So he's really, truly one of my favorite guys on the planet. I got a great idea for a show for he and I once we have both have enough money that we don't have to like work so hard.
Yeah.
This is what it's called. It's called Corey and Tori CXYZ. How's that sound?
Okay.
And if you ever saw the two of us together, you would.
Oh, I bet.
And you were a producer of a big time show, not this show. you would put us on.
Get those guys. So sign those guys up right now.
So you would definitely give us our own show on the Travel Channel.
100 miles.
Yeah. So anyway, enough about Tori, for God's sake.
Sorry.
Okay.
Tori.
And with that, we are off. Okay. So. Another UCLA recap. Do want to give a quick shout out to Thad Lewis, one of the quarterback coaches, and Deshaun Foster. Had a nice conversation with those two gentlemen on the field before the game. Feel for those guys. Feel for all the coaches. Feel for all the players. But
okay, but before we get into this, should we try to cheer up?
Oh well, don't worry, we're gonna get cheered up. All right. Yes. Da-da-da-da. We lost another game, but it was somewhat entertaining. After we were losing 21-0. Okay, so the quarterback from Oregon State threw for 5 touchdown passes. All right.
Oh, God.
We ended up losing the game 48-31. We made it somewhat exciting in the second half. Literally, we gave up 285 yards in the air to a team that, I guess Oregon State, I mean, like I called it the battle in the basement because we both had one win, but Oregon State looked like they were a really good team, or are they just look like a really good team because they were playing us? So, I mean, you know, Jonathan Smith, the coach at Oregon State, I mean, he coached a fantastic game. That quarterback played extremely well. And when you start off any game, literally 21-0, I mean, how do you expect to come back from that? We put ourselves in a huge hole to start off the game. Demetric Felton, though, had a fantastic game, 166 yards from scrimmage. And he had a fantastic 75-yard touchdown, by the way, in the third quarter, I believe. But let's get to the UCLA quarterback play, Dan. So we've been talking plenty about the UCLA quarterback situation over the weeks. You know, we're now 1-5. But Austin Burton made his first career start. He was 27-41 for 236 yards and a touchdown, but he threw no interceptions.
Nice.
And he didn't have any fumbles when nobody hit him.
Nice.
So so check on that. He also had 64 yards rushing, had a rushing touchdown also. You know, that capped a 17-play, 75-yard drive midway through the fourth quarter. I thought that was a fantastic drive. And I agree with what Chip said. I thought he did a great job with his first start. I thought he managed the game extremely well. Again, when you start off 21-0, you know, the Oregon State took advantage of a bunch of mess-ups by UCLA. And then, again, we talk about what I remember last week, Dan, when I said, why do we punt on fourth down?
Yeah.
Let's just go for it all the time.
Right.
Well, he did it again, down 7-0, made another fourth down play on our own 34.
Uh-huh.
It's fourth in less than one, and we ran a counter play. Okay, so you don't know what a counterplay is,
Dan. I have
no
idea.
And probably, you know, many people don't, but for those of you that know football, you know what a counterplay is. It is a slow starting running play where the quarterback does a reverse, you know, pivot, runs backwards, you make it look like it's going one way, and then you counter, hence the word counter, right, in the other direction. It's basically just a little bit faster than a draw, all right? So we run that when we only need to go forward less than 3 feet.
Yeah.
We get a 5-yard loss, okay? And, you know, we lose a huge momentum. We lose any potential momentum. And next thing you know, it's 14-0. Again, we already talked about the 21-0. I do want to talk about one other thing, though, that I thought was crazy. So they did this crazy squib kick. There was a personal foul penalty. So they had a successful squib kick, which I've actually never seen live. I don't think I've ever actually seen one on TV either. But instead of the guy punting it, which you're allowed to do, he drops it, it bounces off of the ground, and he kicks it straight up in the air. And our special teams guys, I wouldn't be surprised if the front line of defense was like, what the fuck was that?
Well, did we get it? Or what?
I thought that was kind of an interesting play. And then, you know, let's talk about what is going to be, I assume, a big story, because we do have a bye coming up this week, is do we have a quarterback controversy? I don't know if DTR is healthy or not, but and we again mentioned before that you typically do not lose your starting job to injury. However, I don't know how you cannot let Austin Burton get another start, even if DTR is healthy. Unless DTR is so perfectly healthy and promises to not make any silly mistakes, then maybe. But no, I think you got to let Austin Burton play, even if DTR is completely healthy. And it, potentially they can hide behind the fact that he's still not healthy. So I think they can deflect the whole real, they're going to be able to put off the real quarterback controversy, at least for another week, I think, from an injury standpoint. But make no mistake, there's a quarterback controversy for anyone that knows anything about football. And certainly anybody that's watched UCLA. There was talk about there being a record low crowd. We got close. there was 48,000 that were in attendance, but for those of you that were there, you saw this at halftime. There was over 3,000 high school bandmates there, right, from all kinds of different high schools.
Yeah.
So to make sure we didn't have the record low, they just gave free tickets to every high school band that has a band.
Wow.
But they actually did a fantastic job at halftime. And there, I've never seen that many people on the Rose Bowl field. There was 3,000 people on the field, all in unison, though.
Wow.
Very nice choreography.
That's wonderful.
You know, congrats to Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. He grew up in Pasadena. It must have been pretty cool to come back as a head coach and win for the first time there. So, you know, he's a young guy. And congratulations to him. But it's official. Any positive momentum that we had after the Washington State game is long gone. And I think I agree with many other people that when they say that, you know, I think, you know, Chip Kelly's biggest task is trying to convince all of the skeptical fans that, you know, that it can't get any worse. So we're going to talk about, more about the Brooklyn's Bridge later, where I'll connect the dots. But I will quote the one quote that I took from him. He said, "There's no magic formula. There is no trade or a waiver wire. You don't get to add players at this point in time. We've got to put them in positions to make plays and give them an opportunity to execute. That is on us as a coaching staff." So looking into that, that's
deep, man.
It is kind of deep, but then, I mean, is it a little bit of a shot? Like, well, there's no trade or waiver wire. Basically, like if you just read that sentence, he basically just said, we can't get different players.
Listen, we're stuck with the team that we have. It's like, we need to give them the ball. They need to score points.
Right. I mean, I kind of question that a little bit, but whatever. So again, up next, we have a bye.
But we're
not going to do any preview of our game, not on this show,
right,
but the following show next week we will.
This is the bye preview.
But just a little heads up, we play the Stanford Cardinal, who we've lost 11 straight games to, those pesky trees. I love that. I actually love it. So we're going to use that sound effect a whole bunch next week in the preview. So, I do have some really great stories I'm also looking forward to to telling next week about some of the Stanford games.
Oh,
so,
really?
Okay. So you can get our story time music all lined up.
Like that?
Perfect. Okay, so rest of the Pac-12 highlights. Arizona beat Colorado, but CU gave the game away. If anybody watched that, I was wrong on that bet. You're going to see a theme, by the way. Oregon beat Cal, but I was wrong on that, on Oregon not covering that. They didn't cover that spread. Wrong again. Stanford beat Washington. The Huskies are officially very, very sad. I was also wrong about that one. USC, Notre Dame won. They did cover. I was wrong about that one. Upcoming next week, USC versus Notre Dame should be entertaining. USC plays at Notre Dame. That's a, you know, that's a huge rivalry. Utah coming up against Oregon State. Let's see if Oregon State is actually really getting better. They're 13.5 point underdogs against Utah. And then UW is -6.5 versus Arizona. So if you notice, I've said I got all my picks on those ones wrong. But I do say the UW at -6.5 for versus Arizona. That is my lock of the week. Rest of the top 25 highlights. Cincinnati beat Central Florida, and actually Cincinnati is now ranked. Michigan beat Iowa in a real yawner, 10-3. Notre Dame, Penn State, Oklahoma, LSU, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Ohio State all rolled. SMU won. We talked about them last week. Are they actually going to keep it up? I think they beat Tulsa or somebody, but it wasn't three overtimes. Florida beat Auburn, which was surprising. Another bet that I lost. but Auburn's backup quarterback was playing. So overall, I was basically only was right on about 30% of my overall bets. Bookie was definitely texting me first thing on Sunday morning. big games next week for the rest of the 25. Oklahoma, Texas. Alabama is at A&M. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and call a potential upset, just because I feel like I've been on the A&M bandwagon and they haven't deserved it. And again, Cincinnati is now ranked. We'll see if they can keep going. And then the Florida versus LSU game is going to be a huge game. LSU is favored by 13.5. So, all right, with that, let's move the chains over to the rest of the sports update. Okay, so first off, we have an NFL recap. Rams lost a heartbreaker to the Seahawks. The Seahawks are 4-1, okay, and they're 9-1 in Thursday primetime games. By the way, Panthers finally won, and Christian McCaffrey was huge for me on my DraftKings game. By the way, actually finally got third or fourth place. I've gotten like ninth place for the last 5 weeks in a row in that league. But Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury got his first win. Remember, we said we didn't expect that team to be any good. Well, we're right. Falcons, Texans won. Actually, Texans scored 53. They're starting to look much, much better. Excited to see if they can keep that up. The Saints are 4-1. They beat the Buccaneers, even without Drew Brees. So, hey, cool. Let's keep it going. I hope that I like the Saints. I think they deserve to have that comeback from last year. The Vikings won. They're playing better. The Bears got beat in London by Chucky and the Raiders. And even though I hate seeing the Bears lose, just from all the Antonio Brown bullshit, I want the Raiders to do well, and I also want them to be very good, because I can't wait. I'm considering being a season ticket holder at the new stadium in Las Vegas. But game was in London, and the London games, they built a new stadium, or they're playing in a brand new stadium. It looks great. I love it. I want to go to a game in London next year. Jets lost to the Eagles. They're 0-4. J-E-T-S, Jets stink. Ravens beat the Steelers. Bills 4-1. Third favorite team on the planet. Patriots won against the Redskins last week to go 5-0. And this is the show. We're doing the show on Thursday night. The Patriots just won again against the Giants. So they're now 6-0. The Broncos and Vic Fangio. I just don't know why you can't say Vic Fangio without saying Vic Fangio. Am I right?
Oh, you're right.
Okay. The Broncos won their first game. Packers are looking good. But I said this early on, maybe episode 3 or 4. I'm starting to feel like Aaron Rodgers is on TV for too many commercials again.
Yeah.
I'm just getting that feeling.
Yeah.
But if that's what it takes for him to play well, because he's still my favorite quarterback. I love the way the guy plays. And let's point out something for the newer listeners that the older listeners or the listeners forever would have known. The fact that Aaron Rodgers still wears a one single snap leather chin strap in a game that is the most violent game ever is remarkable, which shows that he's that smart. He knows where the defense is coming at him from every single angle. He's never caught off guard, because if he was caught off guard ever and got a helmet to the chin, he would not be wearing a leather chin strap. One. So I just love that about him. I love it, and I always will. He's got a lot of moxie. His interviews are starting to get a little weird, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, but we'll get into that later. Okay, Colts beat the Chiefs, so the Chiefs that finally lost, that was actually a really good game. Chiefs had the fewest points in over 26 games, and then the 49ers are still undefeated. They're looking good. Ran the ball like my Pop Warner team did in eighth grade with David Pop. Holy shit. Literally looked like a fantastic high school team running the ball down the Browns' throats. And we talked about the Browns being overrated. Yeah, they're still overrated. And I just like watching them lose. Just like the smugness bothers me. Lions and Dolphins had a bye. Okay, big games next week. Looking forward to the Texans at Chiefs. Again, we want to see if the Texans are going to be are legit. The Redskins and Dolphins are playing in the Basement Bowl. Both teams have not won. Lions at Packers. I think that's the Monday night game. I'm looking forward to that one. And then the 49ers versus the Rams. So the 49ers are atop of the NFC West, which everyone thought that the Rams would obviously be. So that's a big game for divisional implications. Okay, so where do we go next? Okay, Major League. I'm excited about this section.
Yeah.
Okay, got a lot of things to talk about in this section. So let's start off first with the St. Louis Cardinals. They beat the Braves in Game 5 with a huge offensive performance, scored 10 runs in the first inning. It's kind of like the UCLA Bruins giving up 21 and going down 21-0. And then let's move into the Dodgers debacle. Okay, so I went to the game. I was there last night. Shout out to T-Pop Bradley. I appreciate the tickets. Thank you very much. And she claims to be the biggest Dodgers fan on the planet, and I believe her. I have never been to a baseball game longer or earlier than 20 minutes before it starts. She had me there an hour and 45 minutes before.
Oh, really?
I haven't watched batting practice since I was a kid.
Okay? Since you were doing batting practice.
I saw some of the Dodgers batting practice, okay?
Yeah. Were they still striping the diamond?
Yeah, like,
the
Nationals.
How early were we talking?
I couldn't believe it. I literally kept saying to her, okay, it's an hour and a half
really?
Longer.
Are you sure?
But anyway, I really appreciate it. But the Dodgers had a freaking lead the whole game. And Clayton Kershaw, and this poor guy, I mean, if it happened to anybody else, it would be Armageddon against this guy. But he's such a nice guy that you can't help but feel sorry for this guy. He gives up two home runs in two pitches, and here's the interesting part of the story. So I get T-Pop Bradley to leave the game at the right before the start of the eighth inning. I picked her up in Culver City. She left her car there. I said, you know what? Let's just get out of here. We're winning 3-1, and we'll watch the end of the game and celebrate at in Culver City at Rocco's, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's like, sure, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it's so a great plan.
And between we had like VIP parking, so we had from the exit of the security gate.
Okay.
We only had about 100 yards to go to get to our car.
Right.
You don't really hear any sound because it's at Dodger Stadium.
It's in the ravine,
between
right?
us walking out of the security to getting in the car and turning on the radio, they hit two home runs, tie game 3-3. And I have never seen a more sad individual in my life. Okay.
Oh no.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're like, I'm sorry, and I kept apologizing, and I, you know, but that's not the reason it happened. Would you rather be there and feel all that downer energy and talk to another friend who was there?
I heard the people in the stands were just
My father-in-law was there, my brother-in-law was there, my sister-in-law were there, and actually, so we were sitting on third baseline, and they were out in the center field, and the lady in front of me had binoculars. I said, give me your binoculars. I found my father-in-law, brother-in-law,
no,
and his wife.
Seriously?
And they were good binoculars. I was far away and literally could tell what they were drinking, what my father-in-law had on, like body language, Like I sent them a text and he opened up, my brother-in-law opened up the text and I'm like, I'm far away. But I'm watching, like you send a text and you can see him reach into his his pocket.
Get out of
his
phone.
I, you know, and I wanted to send him another text. Like, you know what? I thought that that text would have got a little more, you know, a little more emotion out of you.
Right.
You know, he looks at it,
I
puts it back.
I saw you roll your eyes.
Yeah.
Thanks,
he's like, man, you didn't even show somebody to the right or left.
No,
like,
come on.
So I thought it was a little, it felt a little creepy actually. So then I started almost doing the voyeur thing, like looking at people all over.
Right.
And I started to feel a little weird and I stopped. But so here's the thing, yeah. Kershaw. And within, by the way, within 5 minutes, I got a picture of the Joker, you know, from Batman with a picture of Kershaw with paint like the Joker says Joker. And it,
wow.
Like, within 5 minutes. Unbelievable. So
do people just sit at their computers with Photoshop open just in case something happens?
Well, it picked up. It was on fire. So here's the deal with Kershaw. He's a Hall of Famer in the regular season. Nobody would argue that. And we're going to get to the Dave Roberts thing in a second here. But he's a Hall of Famer in the regular season. But he owns one of the, if not the worst, playoff ERA of all time after a minimum of 10 innings pitched.
Yeah.
So come on. All right. Get that Dave Roberts part. Get up. I want to hear that whole thing because I want to analyze it.
No, he's a pretty dynamic guy. I don't know if you're ready.
Because I don't want to give all the blame.
All the glory to
Kershaw. All the blame to Kershaw. I want Dave Roberts to get his fill.
Okay,
put
here's
it on.
Big Dave.
Eaton and when you got Rendon and Soto.
And we look at his eyes and he's
I like Clayton.
He's half asleep. He's just naming random players at this point.
He's answering like Chip Kelly does.
Ready for whatever today.
Yeah. And he's talking about Kershaw.
So for Maeda to go through Soto, Kenta in this role, we really liked him against the right.
So here's my point. He's talking about data analytics. Keep playing.
Just leave it all.
Keep playing. Yeah, yeah. It's like a minute.
It's so exciting. How you going to talk over this?
So here's my point.
Talk to me.
I'll take Clayton,
he's
any day in that situation.
He's talking. He just basically threw out a whole bunch of data analytics.
Pitches to get Rendon and then go out there and get Soto. And,
again, more statistics that are going to get them to win, right? More statistics about what the right move is. Here it comes.
The analytics going to come into play.
She even
show that Kershaw hasn't been, successful in the postseason. When is that, kind of a conversation to have?
She's scared to ask, by the way.
That's a tough question for me to answer, honestly.
Okay. Wrap it up.
In other words,
so here's the bottom line. Here's my point, which Dave Roberts obviously not going to say this because it's a direct shot at him. What I would have loved, and I would have 1,000% more respect for him if he would have said right there, you know what? Maybe I should have known better and gone with my gut. Because if every single person I felt like in that stadium as Kershaw was coming out, and he got out of the, pitched a strikeout in the seventh inning, and he didn't fuck it up. And I guarantee you everyone was probably saying, okay, whew. Right?
Right.
And they don't coach the team.
Sigh of relief.
They don't have their pulse on the team.
Right.
It's almost, and how many times has Dave Roberts done that where he gives Clayton Kershaw an opportunity because he's like, well, Kershaw is a Hall of Famer. He's the best pitcher ever. He's going to be successful sooner or later in the playoffs. But sooner or later, your gut's got to say, don't put him in that position.
Right, because doesn't work out.
And then the guy, forget the pitcher he threw out there in the ninth. But, for God's sakes, he gave up a grand slam to an ex-Dodger Kendrick. It's just so depressing, it's like, and it just the commerce that we lose as a city for when the Dodgers go to two more series. Think about how much economics and revenue is going to hit the city, right? Think about the energy that is now gone.
Yeah.
Some of my friends that did stay till the end said it took them an hour and a half, literally, to just get out of the parking lot, not even get out, like their section.
Wow.
So feel sorry for all the Dodgers fans. I am a Dodger fan. I'm a Cubs first fan first, Dodgers fan second. Okay, next story. Can't wait to talk to you about this one, Dan.
What's that?
So the Astros, they won tonight. Okay, they beat the Rays in Game 5. But listen to this. So there's this Astros fan. His name is Jimmy. They call him Mattress Mac. He owns a furniture store in Houston. So he has this marketing thing going on for his furniture store that if the Astros win the World Series, he gives everyone that bought an over $3,000 mattress a full refund if the Astros win the World Series.
Oh, how many people is that?
A lot of people. It's so much so that he's done these types of things before.
Yeah.
But this, he must have so much at stake because guess what he did to hedge it?
Uh-oh.
He put $5 million. He bet $5 million that the Astros are going to win the World Series to hedge it. So there's your answer, Dan. It's got to be a decent amount, right?
Wow. We should be in the selling really expensive mattress business.
Well, they are expensive.
Yeah. I didn't realize. I've never paid $3,000 for a mattress.
No, but that's another thing. It's like one of those things where you don't realize. Like I slept on a couple hundred dollars worth of mattress for 15 years, and then I upgraded to a $900 mattress, and
thought... Yeah, and then you're like, yeah, you thought you'd gone to heaven.
So
yeah.
Then think about it. Is the $3,000 one that much, even that much better? I might not leave a bed. I might never leave bed.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then last, Yankees dominated their series with a twin sweep. A little bummed out, though, because if the Rays won... We'll get that. Never. You know what? Actually, I'll come back to that.
Oh,
okay. Right. Oh, and then we talked about the WNBA finals. So I actually watched the last few minutes of the game before I came to the studio. So the Washington Mystics beat the Connecticut Sun. But if you watch the game, it actually looks like Geico and AT&T beat the Mohegan Sun casinos. Seriously, give me a break. They can't even. You can't even see the names. They don't even have the names of the team.
No, just like, hey, listen.
There's a logo of the team.
Yeah.
But if you were watching, I don't know. I would not, and I didn't know.
Right.
If I wasn't such a big fan of the WNBA, I wouldn't know. I would think Geico was playing Mohegan Sun. And a little side note, I know it's all about the money. I get it. Like I know. Thank you. But I was sitting at Dodger Stadium last night, looking at the outfield. And Dodger Stadium was, from a historical standpoint, was one of the first big stadiums, open stadiums, right? Dodger Stadium is old, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the first big ones. But now you look out in the stands, and this is true for all Major League Baseball stadiums, and it came on strong over the last 5 years, and I hate it, which is they now look like AAA stadiums. There's, so-and-so insurance agent, at the AAA stadium. Well, it's Farmers Insurance. There's not one open space of non-advertised outfield wall.
Yeah.
It's like you're telling me that we are that much of whores for the money that we can't keep a little bit of the integrity of what the pristineness. And that's why at least at Wrigley Field, they have the ivy and there's only one in the outfield. I think it's Under Armour right now.
Yeah.
But, come on. Just tell all of those teams, all of those companies, Bank of America, you name it. Just bid it all out and say we're only putting one out there.
Right.
At least keep it cleaner.
Yeah. I had never thought of it. I love that analogy that it's like a true.
Yeah.
Or like the local real estate banner, but it's just bigger and electric.
Now they do it in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
All around all the boards. It's like, can I go watch a game? It just pisses me off. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Whew. All right. So we got it. You said you had a good idea for the song. So,
did I?
Yep. Now let's slide over to pop culture and politics. So I never knew that song, actually. I know that beat from the Coolio version of Fantastic Voyage, which, actually you can see one of Coolio's houses out of my window at my office, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Interesting.
I never really see anybody there, but here he lives there. Okay, so first on the pop culture piece. So Justin Bieber's got baby fever.
Oh, God.
I just like saying that.
He's not going to breed, is he?
No, yeah, he's having a kid with Haley Baldwin.
No.
Yeah.
And Haley Baldwin, is she the daughter of Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it Stephen or Alec?
Oh, maybe she's a Stephen Baldwin.
I think she's a Stephen Baldwin kid.
I feel like...
Because Haley Baldwin or Alec Baldwin's kid is they have like a... They're like a the distraught relationship, I thought.
Right.
We'll check on that because I'm super interested. Me too. They are procreating and pretty much guarantee that the baby's going to be good looking.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We'll see if that baby becomes an engineer or not. All right, so Matt Lauer's shit is definitely hitting the fan.
Oh, you saw that? Matt, so, yeah, so I mean, obviously, he got fired, and there was speculation,
but now it's a full-on book about his rape in Sochi, which he says is was completely consensual. Obviously, she doesn't. And then in my pop culture, you know, in my week of pop culture, I was so excited to hear that just like they did for Aladdin, they are going to remake the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
And they are, just yes. like they did for Aladdin. So like a live version.
Yes.
And the I love the Little Mermaid. Okay.
Oh, God.
I know.
Really?
I knew almost every word to that movie. So, and for those of you that haven't listened to all the episodes or don't know me very well, this is an opportunity for me to do a little humble brag. So, as a reminder, I do have a day job. I sell corporate insurance. Okay. And if you have been entertained by the show at all, and you haven't seen my music videos on YouTube, then you have to hit pause and hit pause and go search Corey Pause
on YouTube.
YouTube and watch the 4 music videos that I have.
Yeah.
They're pretty good now. And I'm already have another 5 to 6 songs rewritten for future videos. And one of them is Under the Sea by Little Mermaid.
No, it's not.
I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but just listen to it. You ready? So remember, I sell corporate insurance.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Here we go. This is acoustic version, obviously.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun. The service always looks greener than Aeon and Lochdin's Lake. You dream about going over there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the team around you, right here on the ground floor. Resources abound around you. What more is HR looking for? Keep it with me, the business. Keep it with me. I know you'll feel better. Don't sign that letter. Take it from me. The Dude. Competition slacks all day, hoping your questions go away. While we devoting full time to quoting business with me. Now you tell me that ain't good.
Wow.
Come on. And I got 2 more freaking verses.
Yeah, do you really?
Of course, Dan. You think write verse 1?
This is so foreign to me because I've never had that kind of corporate job where you go to a meeting and a guy sings a parody of a song.
Well, I don't sing it at meetings, Dan. Oh, but you don't keep insurance fun, then you're going to go crazy.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, so let's move it over to politics.
So are you going to be Sebastian in the new movie?
No, I don't have good enough hair.
Oh, darn it.
All right, give me that politics sound effect. All right, here we go. So first things first, we're in our political section. Lots to talk about here.
Yes.
And if you haven't noticed, there's lots and lots to talk about foreign meddling, okay? Let's just call it that. It's like everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else. I don't think it's going to get better for either side anytime soon. I think it's going to get actually worse. I did actually read, though, also that Hillary Clinton is considering another freaking run at this thing.
What?
Yeah,
are you serious?
I can't wait to talk about that if that actually happens. And then here's another story that caught my eye, and I'm sure everybody else's because it was a national news story. The fact that Ellen DeGeneres took on the Twitter troll world, which I've always loved Ellen, and now I love her even more because they sent out the picture of her sitting next to ex-President Bush at the Cowboys game. Okay.
Oh, that's where that was?
Yeah. So they show a shot of her on the national TV.
Okay.
And and heaven forbid, they actually showed a shot of her laughing, you know, with George Bush.
Okay.
And people were genuinely upset. Right?
Okay. Can I just clarify something for people that haven't seen the photo? She's not sitting in his lap.
Of course not.
She's actually probably 3 or more feet away from him.
I know.
But those seats are not even close. Mm-hmm. She's there with her wife or something, right?
Yeah, Portia de Rossi, you know, beautiful woman. So, you know, it's like it's not a shocker that people went apeshit, right? But here's what I loved. So she goes on her national televised TV show,
right?
And she just says, you know, she brings first her opening monologue. You know, people were upset, and she goes, she's like, I'm sure they thought, they thought, why is this gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? She said, here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs I have. We're all different, and I think we've forgotten that that's okay. And she continues to say, when I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter. Okay, so dare I say Ellen should run for president? Because how simple is that? Like,
but that goes back to what you and I were talking about
all the time.
Well, several times, yeah.
The third party candidate,
right?
All right, so I thought, you know, that was it really pissed me off, because it always pisses me off when shit like that happens. But I loved how Ellen handled it, and of course, you know, like, if the one thing you got to admit though, when trolls go after people like Ellen and Ellen fights back, the trolls go away immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't happen that way with other things.
See, maybe I'm a weirdo. Seeing that picture, actually, it legitimized Bush for me more than it made me
think negatively
worry
her.
About her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, hey, there's George Bush hanging out with Ellen Portia.
Exactly. All right. You know, politics doesn't have to define who you are. Period.
No.
Okay.
All right. We should love each other.
So next thing, I don't know if you noticed, but North Syria is not a great place to be right now.
Yeah.
So the Turks are officially at war with the Kurds. Excuse me. I wanted it to rhyme. Damn it. The Kurds so and the close. Turks are not getting along. They haven't for pretty much forever. And I want to bring up one of my favorite phrases. It goes like this. Mm. You know when you would say goodbye to somebody. Or something, you know, yeah. And like you used to say, hey, peace, you know, peace. Right? You know,
yeah, peace.
You were around in the 70s.
Unfortunately, yes, I was.
Yeah, so like peace. So for a long, long time, and I still use it, but I don't use it all the time, I would say peace in the Middle East, if it's possible.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right? Peace in the Middle East, if it's possible. Because ever since I've been a kid, paid attention to anything, there has not been peace in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay,
oh, yeah,
no. Whether it's one country in or another, or always the Palestinians and the Jews. Like, that's the underlying theme
for
that's
sure.
never gone away and never will, potentially. And that's my point. So it's like they have been fighting. Mesopotamia, okay, started in Baghdad, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. That's where Mesopotamia started, the cradle of civilization, okay? That's Baghdad.
Yeah.
So we started there.
Well...
And we're still fighting.
Yeah, basically.
So,
sure.
And a really good Arab friend of mine, we used to have really great, you know, political conversations, okay? Yeah. And he said it to me very simply one day. Because in my mind, like, to be like, if you're a true liberal, then you wouldn't mind us being in the Middle East, because half of the women in the Middle East aren't allowed to read.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Like, you think it's bad in the United States?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's one thing. So he just simply put it like this. He's like, Corey, here's the bottom line. Middle Eastern people just want the people that live in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
They just want you to stay out of their shit. Right. Just leave us alone.
Right. Right.
And to that, I said, okay, you got a point.
Right.
But what about the oil?
No, I'm just kidding. Well, yeah.
You know, what about this? What about that?
Right.
But you know what? It's like, and I wanted to say to him, hey, sure, we'll leave him alone, but. Then I mean, you're just, I'm pretty sure you're just going to fight more.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have factions of, you know, Islam that are the same religion that want to kill each other.
Right. Right.
That's, you know, that's
not a good sign.
That's going to be tough to fix that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So next story, get some of our sound effects ready, Dan, because I feel I can't wait.
Oh no.
So
why?
If anybody missed the story about the NBA owner, it went out NBA owner, but it was actually the GM of the Houston Rockets, sent a tweet about China because the NBA is playing a bunch of games in China. We're going to get to some of the economic statistics in a few moments.
Uh-oh.
But so they're overseas right now, all the, you know, the players and the teams and whatnot.
Sure. Bunch of.
And he sent out this simple tweet in regards to the Hong Kong situation that we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Just all he said was fight for freedom and stand with Hong Kong. That's it.
Okay.
So I say, where are the where are the Twitter trolls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's
the consistent backlash against China? Okay. Focus some of our bullshit energy at that, because like the Middle East, they got much bigger problems than China. So then China comes back and basically says, We demand that the GM of the Houston Rockets takes back what he said, right?
Why would China care? No offense to the GM, but right. Why would they care?
Because they, can't have any
dissension whatsoever.
Any dissension whatsoever. So here's some of the numbers, okay? So the number of people watching NBA games through Tencent's streaming service, okay, that's the Chinese company that streams NBA games,
okay,
has tripled in the last 4 years. During the 17 last season, more than 600 million people watched NBA games on Chinese TV.
Oh, my.
Okay. They don't give out any of the financial data, but the team, NBA China, which established in 2008 and manages the NBA related events, that arm in itself was worth $4 billion. Okay. Which came out in a Forbes interview. And then you think about all the Chinese companies that are selling NBA stuff. The partners include Alibaba, Lining. I mean, you name it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the sports stars are gigantic social media stars, right? Think about it like this. So 600 million people in China watched the NBA.
Yeah.
In last season.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to know how many people are in the United States? 327 million. Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people in the in the United States that didn't watch an NBA game last year.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot. I'd love to see those numbers. There's a 1.4 billion people in China.
Well, yeah.
So there's a lot of money to be had there.
Right.
So one person, though, that I do want to throw under the bus a little bit on this is LeBron. Like, where's LeBron, right? He's got a show that he brings on Gavin Newsom, and he talks about social injustices, okay? Where is that shit, okay? So he is his off the court reputation that he's taken so seriously, like donning a hooded sweatshirt in 2012 after the death of Trayvon Martin, right? Okay, we know that. Criticizing President Trump for divisive politics, right? Where he's quoted, "We're not going to let one individual, no matter the power, no matter the impact that he should have or she should have, ever use sports as a platform to divide us." Supporting Colin Kaepernick in his protesting of racism and police brutality, once telling the Los Angeles Times, "I think with Cap, I stand with Cap, I kneel with Cap." Okay. Lamenting hate in America before the start of the 2017 NBA Finals, after a gate outside his home was reported to be vandalized with the N-word spray painted on it. Except when the cops showed up, it was gone. His guys already spray painted over it. Question. Okay, and then most recently, we talked about speaking out against on the new California law, right, allowing college athletes to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls his show, he says, and I got this phrase from one of the articles. He says on his show, The Shop, like, he's like, "Let's chop it up. Yeah, let's chop it up," while discussing important social issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is he on this one? Okay. And he signed a $1 billion endorsement deal with Nike.
Okay? Oh, my.
I don't know the exact dollar amount of what it costs to make a Nike shoe in China with borderline slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
And zero workers' comp laws, and zero attention to our environment from a polluting standpoint. Okay, and I was at the mall the other day. His shoe costs over $200.
Okay.
All right. So you know what? Spare me the shit. Anyway. Okay. By the way, SB 206, the one where you're allowed to pay college kids.
Yes.
It's for high school kids too.
What? Wait, yes. Why?
Uh-huh. I listened to an interview.
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, but you can now, so SB 206, when it goes into effect in 2023, you can pay high school kids.
No.
Uh-huh. No, I'm serious.
Oh, because there's so much money in high school basketball?
Well, if you're good.
I mean, when you leave high school.
No.
But not while you're in high school,
local
right?
markets? Are you kidding me?
Really?
I mean, I was the Illinois Football Player of the Year. I was on the front page of the Chicago Tribune all the time.
Yeah, but did you make money?
Of course not. But
did you make money for your school?
Of course. Our football games were packed.
Interesting.
Every single person there bought some popcorn, one free. Okay. Anyway. So all right. I'm getting a little amped up. So let's get ready. Let's move on before I keep going down the China route, because I'm reading a book called Deceiving the Sky. All right. That's the title.
Deceiving the sky.
And the next line under it is basically something along the lines of China's attempt at global dominance.
你在跟我开玩笑吗? Are you kidding me?
Thank you. You know what the other one was that we forgot to do because I got so amped up?
You were so...
the guy from Hangover.
You're going to fuck on me.
I love that one. So, yeah, you were a little slow on that. Where the hell was that?
You never took a breath.
You're right, I didn't. You could have just thrown him in there.
这不关你的事. It's none of your business.
And that is a good one to end on. Thank you. All right, so let's pack our bags for the travel section. Okay. So I'm not going to recap any of the travel because there was very little, but I am going to preview the upcoming travel because I got another Detroit sandwich on our hands. You remember that? Remember that episode?
I do.
Okay, so
indeed.
Got a great concert with my wife tomorrow night.
No.
Yeah, Griffin, who for a DJ, for those of you that love, you know, BDM, BPM music.
BDSM?
I'm sorry.
Music?
Freudian slip. Okay, so I'm taking the red eye on Friday night to Texas. I'm going to the Red River Shootout, Oklahoma versus Texas, number 6 versus 11, at the Cotton Bowl. Mm-hmm. Then early flight Sunday morning to New York, okay?
All
meetings, by the way, going with all, you know, work people.
Okay. New York, New York.
Yep. And going to watching the Jets Cowboys game. Shout out to Grant's Rants and the winless Jets in the owner's suite, okay, at MetLife Stadium. And then this is the part that bummed me out. So if the Tampa Bay Rays won, I was going to go to the Yankee game on Monday. So now I was so hell bent on having a three-way going there.
Sure, sure.
That I'm considering taking the train to D.C. I have a client that I need to see in D.C.
Yeah.
I'm considering taking the train to D.C. and watching the Nationals-Cardinals game in the playoffs. So,
wow.
Anyway, little humble brag, two humble brags this episode so far. My lyrical ability and that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so finally, all right, now we're going to cross over to Brooklyn's Bridge for the last part of the show. We hope you stick around because then you're going to know.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are getting tired of the pause laws, don't worry, we're almost done with that. So as a reminder, we're going to recap the 7 pause laws, okay, which are the 7 rules to success through positive thinking. Rule number 1, keep a positive attitude at all times. Number 2, don't forget to pause and reflect. Number 3, always position yourself for success. Number 4, remember a round of a pause. Number 5, everyone needs some apostles. Number 6, never play possum. And number 7, feel the pause and effect. So once again this week, I wanted to connect the dots to what happened in the UCLA game. All right. So pause law number 5, everyone needs some apostles. I call mine the pause patrol. Okay. So this is very simple. Obviously, yes, it is a play on words from Jesus's disciples. Okay. Yes, I get that.
True.
All right. The apostles. All right. Understood. But the point is that you got to have a core group of people that you can count on. Family's one thing, but you got to have a core group that are your true apostles. And when I talk about real friends, I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm not talking about Twitter followers. I'm talking about really close friends. A good friend of mine's father told me 20 years ago, he said something. I didn't think of apostles back then, but I remember connecting the dots back to his phrase back then. He said, Corey, you got to have 10 apostles so that you can make 2 fists.
Huh? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Drew Bennett's dad.
Oh, Drew Bennett's dad.
Yeah. And I love it. I'll never forget it. So what my point of connecting the dots here is that we're 1-5.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, UCLA needs the apostles need to stick with UCLA no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
I want to give a shout out to two huge UCLA apostles, Bart and Kathy. Thank you for the ride home from the game the other night. And really pretty cool moment. You got to hold on a second. So in the back seat was myself, my brother-in-law, and his wife. And Kathy's driving, Bart's in the passenger seat. And it's right, we're leaving the game early.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to give us a ride home. And AM 570. Our ad comes on.
AM 570.
And I had never heard it.
Yeah. Hello, Bruin fans. This
So I never heard it live.
Oh my gosh.
And I literally looked, and my eyes lit up like it was Christmas.
Right.
I grabbed my brother-in-law's arm and Bart in the passenger seat turns around like, what's happening?
What is happening?
You know, like, cause I hadn't stopped talking since I got in the car. Right. Well, and now I'm talking through the radio. I felt like they might've wanted to say like, I can't imagine this could get any worse. I mean, now I got to listen to this fucking guy on the radio.
And the radio, too. So, great.
But you know what? It doesn't sound bad. It sounds pretty good.
I bet it sounds great.
So I'm excited for what the next episode or the next radio ad is going to be. So yeah. I haven't done it yet. It's going to be for the Stanford game. I got to think of something clever for the the trees. It's going to be something like that. I might even throw in the chainsaw.
Nice.
Which I kind of like.
Nice.
But pause law number five, everyone needs some apostles. So if you're looking for a friend, send us an email to the one that we haven't checked. No. Okay, so we've ended the last few weeks with Wilson Phillips and Hold On because for obvious reasons, if you're a UCLA football fan. But I want to change to a new song, so please. Ooh, so if you're my age, I'm 39. If you're my age and you didn't love the movie Boys in the Hood growing up, then you're an asshole. Because that was one of my favorite movies growing up in whitewashed suburban Illinois, Chicago. That was one of my favorite movies, and this song is in that movie. And I love that movie. And if you haven't watched it in a long time, go back and watch it. Ice Cube. God, Cuba. Man. It's like, don't know, don't show. I just don't care what's going on in the hood. I mean, it's just, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Yeah. You know, my friends and I watch that movie. So anyway, all right. So new song going to be next week too. That one felt great, but that's only a one-time deal.
That's a one-time That's a one-time deal. The five stair steps.
And I also, by the way, I kind of like doing the show on Thursdays. I just want to throw that out there. I'm not saying forever, but it's got to feel, you know, when we do it on the Sundays or Mondays, it's got pressure.
It's a little
extra pressure.
There's always been something magical
on
Thursdays.
Exactly. So let's enjoy, let's enjoy the bye week knowing that there is no way we can be disappointed because you can't lose if you don't play. All right.
That's the spirit.
And have a wonderful weekend because remember, when you keep a positive attitude, something's always brewing.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws it in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Go search Corey Pons
on YouTube.
And watch the four music videos that I have.
Are you kidding me?
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.